Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and I am your host. And so glad you are here today. Hopefully you have been following us for a while. If you're new to us, you can go to our website, which is WLSgutHealth.com, and you can find all kinds of free recipes. You can sign up for our free recipe newsletter to get a weekly recipe in your inbox. Then there's all kinds of free information that you can download right on our site, as well as listen to past shows and episodes that we have already recorded. So we're glad that you found us, and we hope you continue to follow us and just kind of learn from all the topics that we make available. A little bit about me. I've been a bariatric dietitian for over 20 years and have been able to work at one of the larger weight loss surgery centers and have been able to see tens of thousands of you over the course of time and have learned a lot. So this is just my creative outlet and a way to give back to you and give you the resources you need to be successful long term. So you can, you know, go to our website and, you know, get connected that way. But most importantly, I'd encourage you to go to our closed Facebook group called the Gastric Health Club. So just go onto Facebook, type in the search bar, Gastric Health Club, and you should find, it should pop right up. All you have to do is ask to join, answer a couple questions, and you're in. So pretty simple, really. But that's kind of the community where we do lots of cool things. We do a weekly giveaway for anybody who's a member of the Gastric Health Club. That's all you have to do is join and become a member, and you will have the ability to be a winner in our giveaway. And then we also are going to have some community-wide challenges and just, you know, just a support group or area to kind of learn and you know, get questions answered. That's where I'll be to help kind of guide and give feedback as much as possible. I try to get in there as much as I can. But in the end, it's a great place to connect with other like-minded, health-conscious weight loss surgery patients and a safe place to go to talk about, you know, things that you need answers to. So hopefully you will join us there. And one other thing, on our website, you'll find that we offer a probiotic, and we do have more products coming very, very soon within the next few weeks. So that's awesome. But also, we'll be making some changes with the free shipping and handling. That will be going away very soon. So if you want to save some dollars, then I'd encourage you to maybe take advantage of this free shipping and handling that we currently have, and that will be going away quickly here in the next, I don't know exactly the date, but it will be very soon in the next week or two or less. So that won't be available after that point. So stock up if you want to, so that you know that you're got the best value, and take advantage of our, you know, launching special. Basically, that's our kind of our introductory price to get that good price to you. So that goes away soon. So all that being said, today's topic is a little bit more detail of what we covered last week on stalls, but this is covering actual weight gain. So we're going to talk about four secrets all Roux-en-Y and VSG patients need to know about weight regain. So we're taking an aspect of that we talked about last week, And we're going to kind of dive a little bit deeper to apply it to how it actually causes weight regain. So then you know what you've got to do to change and help prevent that or turn it around. So there's many things you can hang your hat on that are the contributors to weight regain, typically, in most cases. Sometimes it's, you know, pretty cut and dry. You know, outside of the norm of, you know, you're just eating like crap and not taking care of yourself. I mean, those are the obvious things. So it's you know, you're like, okay, what have I done differently? I don't feel like I'm living my life really that different, but yet I'm gaining weight. What has happened? So this topic, we're honing in on mostly inflammation as the overall picture and cause of weight regain. So that's what I'm going to go into detail of. And I always give the functional medicine twist, my kind of unique perspective to weight loss surgery. And it's actually a very good combination. It's very not typical because, you know, functional medicine people aren't always excited about weight loss surgery. And, you know, maybe weight loss surgery people aren't as excited or even understand or know what functional medicine is. But actually, they merge together very well and they need each other. So that's kind of the unique perspective I bring. Functional medicine has a lot of options to help weight loss surgery patients in kind of the whole journey after surgery. So that's, you know, that's my unique twist. So I'm going to give you things that you really probably haven't heard of or thought of, or, you know, or maybe very few of you have even been exposed to. So feel free to reach out through email and ask questions in any way to get clarity if it doesn't make sense. Or get in the Gastric Health Club, is what I would say. Get in the Gastric Health Club, and it's a great place to have a conversation about this topic. So feel free to start a question, and then let's get it rolling. And I usually try to jump in on most conversations if needed. If it's going well, then, you know, I don't feel like I need to. But regardless, that will be a way to kind of interact and kind of keep the ball rolling and get your questions answered. So inflammation, that is a known thing that is connected to obesity. It's been known for a while. So anytime your body is in an inflammatory state, your body is going to be more prone to, in long term, not short term. If you have, you know, inflammation due to an illness or, you know, an injury or something, you know, inflammation isn't bad. It's actually a good thing because that's how our body heals itself and repairs itself. So it's not that all inflammation is bad. It's just when it's chronic or long term, when it goes on and on and on, that's when it's bad. So anytime you've got that low-grade inflammation or a heightened inflammation going on in your body, that's when you're more prone to get diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and obesity. So those are known things and have been known for quite some time. So what do you do? You know, if you know you have those conditions, you have weight loss surgery, and now you're like, okay, they're managed, they're cool, they're all taken care of now since I've had surgery, I don't have to worry about it. Not true. It can come back. So unfortunately, I've seen that time and time again where people who have diabetes have weight loss surgery, and it's kind of magically put in remission with surgery. And then as time evolves, they kind of lose that foothold or their place where everything is stable and managed, and they start regaining and they start adding in medications because their A1C is creeping up and creeping up and their blood sugars are just getting higher and higher. And when that happens, guess what? They get put back on diabetic medications. So it's not a guarantee that you'll never be back on diabetic medications. It is a tool. So that's where you have to make sure you're using your tool correctly. And that's, you know, the thing with a lot of chronic illnesses, they could totally be controlled by diet and lifestyle. And that's what I'm going to bring to the table. Functional medicine is all about diet and lifestyle. And then if those only go so far and it doesn't last long enough, then you still have all of the other options available to you. But functional medicine is all about you doing your part, which I like. Because in the end, if we're just, you know, going to continue doing our destructive patterns that we are creating ourselves, we are never going to have resolution to this long term. Because you have to do your part. You have to be willing to make changes in your lifestyle and, you know, your diet choices. So if you want things to be managed long term. So I hope that helps you understand a little bit more. But what causes inflammation? If we want to look at that, so we're going to cover four things that can be a cause of inflammation. One of them is infections. So anytime you have infections in your body, that is causing inflammation. And if they're lasting a long time, then that's when it can be troublesome. So think of gut infections. That's one that comes to mind frequently for me. So if you're having frequent gut infections and or UTIs or bronchial infections or sinus infections or ear infections or skin infections, any of those things that you're chronically doing, you're getting this low-grade inflammation just all the time because of these infections, your body's having to work overtime to try to heal them. So that's where you have to be kind of cautious, and you got to be more in prevention mode and protective mode so that you are preventing future infections. Because sometimes infections require antibiotics, and the more antibiotics you're doing, it's just, you know, destroying your gut bacteria. And guess what? Now you're going to be more prone to more infections. So, and also when I go into infections, something to keep in mind, after weight loss surgery, it's been proven time and time again that most weight loss surgery patients don't have a low enough pH in their stomach. So normal is a pH of 1 to 3, meaning it's acidic. And that acidity kills the bacteria like pneumonia, C. diff, H. pylori. So all those things that, if you don't have in control, can take over and kind of proliferate and rule your body when you don't have enough stomach acid. So that's when you don't have enough stomach acid, your pH is more like 5 to 7. So things are more alkaline, meaning that you're not going to kill off those that bacteria. So you are going to be more susceptible to pneumonia and C. diff and H. pylori and, you know, any type of food poisonings and those type of things. Those are all going to be a way for you to, get an infection that's going to then lead to more problems. So that's where weight loss surgery patients, you have to stay on top of those, and you have to not let these, you know, guide your life. You don't want to be on antibiotics 3 or 4 times a year. No, that's the worst thing that you need to be in position of. You got to prevent those things from happening, and there's things you can do. So that's where probiotics come in handy, because they will get the environment right in your intestines so that you have the support and the defense mechanism to kill and defeat and protect you. Also, digestive enzymes help in this, because it's going to add in some acid so that you can lower that pH, so that you actually get a better way to kill off those bacteria before they even make it to your intestines or into your bloodstream. So that would be important. Also, whole real foods. So your diet plays a huge role in that, especially the, think of the dark leafy greens or your vegetables, really any vegetables. They're like a fire extinguisher to inflammation. So you want to make sure that you're eating plenty of those veggies on a daily basis, and not just one time a day, but multiple times a day. So you've got to figure out, how can I eat more veggies? And that helps calm the inflammation. So, and also collagen is another one that can help. So, infections in general, you've got to do your part and set the environment right so that you don't have to chronically keep needing chronically keep needing antibiotics. So, another cause, so number two, the cause of inflammation, it could be mold toxins. So think of what is going on in your environment. So in your house, in your vehicles, in your work environment, are you exposed to those toxins? So, you know, look in your windowsills, look for leaks in your kitchens and baths and laundry, and pay attention. If you physically see it, then guess what? That could be the cause of the inflammation in your body, which now leads to, you guessed it, weight gain. So that's a very common connection. So if you have mold in your house or in that's now in your body, guess what? You're going to put on some pounds. So not a common thing to think about, but I'll tell you, especially with all these hurricanes and natural disasters that are happening, the possibilities are definitely there to be exposed to more of that. And, you know, this is the real world. So we are exposed to some of those. And, I feel like our body has the ability to handle small amounts of it. It can process some of it, but if it grows and continues to get out of control and it's large volumes, there's just no way. So if you randomly start putting on weight and you're like, okay, my diet didn't change, my exercise hasn't changed, and everything else seems right on task, then what could it be? And that's where you got to look at, do I have low-grade inflammation going on? Do I have some mold toxins that I'm exposed to? And that's, you know, you got to take care and clean those up. So that's number two. So inflammation from infections and mold toxins can all make you gain weight. And then the third one is just environmental toxins. So this one is complicated because, you know, as the decades evolve, we are exposed to more and more chemicals. And I'd love to say that's going to get better. I just don't see it. So, you know, you have to look at the big picture of, okay, have I changed things that maybe has contributed to this? Have I been exposed? Did I, you know, get into some new, brand new house or building or something? Now I have all these symptoms and I started putting on pounds, and it could be because of those new, you know, toxins and stuff that are in our flooring and our walls and in our furnitures and all that. And again, it goes back to, you know, the big picture of your body can only handle so much. And once it's maxed out, you know, it's our liver and our kidneys that do the work. And they do it all day, every day. That is their job. So detoxification of all those environmental toxins, they work hard every single day. So you have to know that sometimes when they are overwhelmed by too much, they can't do their job very well. They're sluggish. They can't keep up. So that's where you have to do your part. And this to me happens over time. And I guess that's how I did it. I didn't have the luxury that I could just dump everything in my house and start new. So I, you know, started slow, and I just started, you know, I picked one thing that I was going to change, and I just changed. And then I kept sticking with the one that I found that worked the best. And then I moved to my next product. And, you know, if you think of your laundry detergent, your dish soaps, dishwasher soaps, your shampoos, conditioner, lotions, all, you know, cosmetics, all those things are full of, you know, chemicals that our body really should not have to be exposed to all the time. And it's those, you know, daily exposures that you have to think about. Same thing with, you know, with your food. It's your daily food choices that are causing the weight regain, not, you know, Christmas once a year. It is what you've chosen to do on a daily basis. So that's what you have to look at, the big picture. What am I doing daily that can maybe be contributing to this weight gain? Have I changed a product? Do I need to change a product and get rid of what's in it because it's not helping? Plastic is a really big one. I really like the Environmental Working Group, and if you go to EWG.org, they do a fabulous job, and they update constantly on the products that are best, because unfortunately, manufacturers change their ingredients, and they keep up with that for you. So it's a great way to stay on top of the best options. Like, I love their Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen. So their Clean 15 is all of the foods that are low in pesticides, and that you don't necessarily have to buy organic. And then the Dirty Dozen are the ones that are really high in pesticides, and they update it every year. So it's based on what has happened over the course of the year, and they do all the testing. So they update each, I want to say springtime, they come out with a new list, maybe February or March or April, somewhere in that time frame. They come up with a new list for the year, and it's all based on their testing on what has happened on the ones that had the most pesticides and chemicals that you know, okay, I really need to make sure that I'm buying organic in these items because they're not going to be good. My body's going to be exposed to too many toxins and chemicals, and it's going to contribute to me gaining weight. So that's where, you know, I try to follow their rules. So, you know, this last year, 2017, potatoes and berries, those are really high in pesticides. So I only buy organic of it. And if it wasn't available, guess what? I changed what I bought. I changed my item. I just didn't cook that or buy that item. I made a different purchase of something else because I didn't want it. I didn't want to expose our family to more. And, you know, I look for deals. That's me. I like to be value-based for sure. So, you know, I find all the stores and find the best prices as possible. And Aldi's, they have frozen berries that are organic for, you know, a great price. So you're spending half as much as what you do at maybe some of the other more health food stores. So yeah, I might go to a few grocery stores, but you know, if you're saving a couple bucks on a bag of berries, it's worth it. For me, I have, in our area, we have everything within, you know, a few mile radius. I have all the stores and health food stores and grocery stores pretty close. So it's not difficult. But I understand if you know, 45 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes to different stores, it wouldn't be worth it. So you have to kind of do the benefit analysis to see if it's really worth it in your area. So plastic's a big one. You know, I dumped all the plastic years ago, and we store things only in glass, those glass jars. And that's a great way to start, you know, replace. So those coconut oil jars, they're fabulous to carry your leftovers for lunch. And that's kind of, you know, at the end of the day, when we have our meal, we just line up our jars and we just put all of our leftovers in there and we put it in the fridge and you can grab and go and you're ready to go out the door and you have your lunch. So I know I'm safe. I can warm it up in the glass and I don't have to be worried about the plastics. So simple. A very interesting statistic that I found was the average newborn has 287 chemicals in their umbilical cord, 217 of which are neurotoxic, which means they're poisonous to the nerves or the nerve cells. So that's kind of frightening when our newborn babies are already having high levels of, you know, chemicals and even, you know, poisonous type chemicals in their body. And that's scary to me. It's just no wonder that we have the health challenges that we have now. So I wish it was different. I honestly wish that things were not this way, but it is. And we just have to realize that all we can do is the best we can do. And if your budget doesn't accommodate it, work on that in 2018 to get your budget to accommodate, you know, an extra 50 cents here or an extra dollar here to buy the better quality, just to minimize it. Because there have been several studies on this, buying the organic over the conventional in fruits and veggies, and the pesticide levels in people's urine decreased dramatically. So it's disheartening, but it's reality, and you just got to keep working on tweaking and tweaking your lifestyle so that it accommodates those as best you can, and so that it takes the burden off of your liver and your kidneys, and then it prevents the regain as a potential. So be smart about it. I mean, like I said, it took me time to evolve to better quality products. And I think just minimizing the exposure is good. Now, some healthcare professionals would disagree with that comment, but I'm pretty real. And I just, you know, I'm realistic in the aspect of you have to be able to accommodate these food deserts and these environments that you don't even have those options. I mean, there's nobody that has even a smidgen of these things available. Organic produce, it's not even available at your food desert grocery store. I get it. So you do the best you can. At least buy whole real food, and you're doing yourself a service in its own right there. So don't ever get disheartened and think, oh, I don't have organic produce, or I don't have, you know, all these lotions and, you know, dish detergents that don't have all these bad things in them. I don't have it. Just buy the best you can, and keep looking. And if you go to bigger metropolitan areas, maybe once a month, or if you can buy on Amazon or different online stores that can be shipped to you, do it. But in time, you know, you just have to do the best you can. So those things are three of the four that can be drivers of inflammation that can lead to weight regain. And then the last one is food allergens and sensitivities. So this one's a big one. This one you can, if you have some food sensitivities, you can easily pack on the pounds. And what happens, so this is very common with weight loss surgery patients. And I get mixed research on this. I see both sides. Some say that you don't have an increased intestinal permeability, and some say you do. And a common term for intestinal permeability is leaky gut. So if you have a leaky gut, I mean, they find that the weight loss surgery patients do have more leaky gut after surgery. What I see personally is, yes, I see more leaky gut after weight loss surgery. So even so, some of those studies are saying, no, you have improved. I don't see it. I just don't have that clinical evidence leaning more in that direction. I have it leans more in you have a leaky gut. And all that means is things, food particles, chemicals, pesticides, all those things, those tight junctions in that line your intestines that are supposed to be tight and, you know, kind of firm and in control, they're relaxed and they're sickly and they can't do their job, and they have gaps, and then food particles and things can pass through and then get straight to your bloodstream, and now your body's like, whoa, what the heck is this? And guess what? This is something we shouldn't have, so we need to attack this, and it creates inflammation and causes lots of havoc in your body. And now you have a food sensitivity. Your body is like, ooh, I can't have this. This is just creating lots of reactions. So that's when you can get weight regain with food sensitivities. And it can cause gut infections, and it can cause lots of issues. So the most common, wheat, gluten, and dairy, those are probably the ones that I do the most. But we've literally had patients come in with, you know, blood tests and things that they have 30 to 40 different intolerances and sensitivities that they have to avoid. So that's where you have to really say, oh gosh, what's really going on? And, you know, look at the big picture of, okay, we're not digesting food here, and we need to support that. And that's where probiotics and digestive enzymes, that's where collagen, that's where all that comes into hand and to heal that leaky gut and get you back up and running. Because that's the cool thing with sensitivities, it's short term. Some of, well, not, I shouldn't say short term 100%, but there are many of them that you can, you know, just avoid for a month or 3 months or 6 months. And then guess what? Your body is healed from it and you're not going to have the reaction again. So that doesn't mean you'd go back to eating large volumes of it. It just means that you can handle it and have it again, and you don't have to avoid it exclusively. But there are some that you should totally just eliminate based on kind of your genetics and that type of thing. So I would encourage you to, you know, pay attention to symptoms and things that you have after you eat, and that will kind of give you a good indicator of, is this a bad thing for me? So, but wheat, gluten, and dairy, those are my most common ones that I eliminate. And then soy, eggs, nuts, fish, those are the six most common food problems that people are exposed to. So those are the main four that cause inflammation in your body that can lead to weight regain. So what do you do about it? How do you change it? And that's where you calm the inflammation. And that can be with the probiotics. Fish oil is also very good in calming the inflammation. Also vitamin D, so making sure you're taking your vitamin D3 every day. And collagen, whole real foods like your veggies and fruits, fresh fruits, those things are going to be, think of them as a fire extinguisher for inflammation. Clean up your environment. Check for mold. Look in the windowsills. Look for your bathrooms and kitchens and see if you're exposed to it. And get it cleaned up. And that will help. And then support your body's natural detoxification process. So like I said earlier, your kidneys and liver do this for us. But when they are overwhelmed and have too much to work through, then guess what? They're not going to be able to keep up. And that's where you have to support their work. You have to support them so that they can do their job. And how do you do that? So one is make sure, you know, you are peeing enough or urinating enough. So drink lots of plain water, 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 preferably filtered if you can. That will minimize what you're exposed to as well from what's in our water system. But at least half your body weight in water. So whatever pounds you are, divide it in half, and then that's the number of ounces you should drink every day. Now, if you just had surgery and you started at 400 pounds, there's just no way possible you're going to drink 200 ounces of fluids. Not going to happen. So do your best. Usually we say 60 to 80 ounces those first few weeks. Everybody should be reaching so that you don't get dehydrated. And then the next one is making sure you're having 1 to 2 bowel movements every day. So that one is important. That's how your body gets rid of the toxins. So if you are constipated, you've got to fix the constipation and you've got to get your gut moving. Smooth Move Tea is my favorite to use. And that one works fabulously and quickly, as well as magnesium citrate. Those are my go-to quick get things moving again. Long term, you've got to, yes, do short term fixes, but then long, you got to go back to what's the long term solution of probiotics, even digestive enzymes, because if you're not digesting the food, it's going to cause constipation because of the lack of all the raw material needed to digest the food. And then plenty of fiber, plenty of fluids are all important. And then breathing, we expel all of those toxins through deep breathing. So when you're stressed and worried and in a, you know, poor state of mind, you're going to take short, frequent breaths, whereas your body needs deep breathing, full breaths. So make sure you're slowing yourself down and really taking deep breaths. A good way to do it is counting 4, 6, 8. You do an inhale of 4 count, you hold for 6 count, and you exhale for 8 count. And that is a great way to get full deep breaths. And then the last one is sweating. So you should be sweating at least 3 times a week for at least 20 minutes. So exercise, find some type of exercise you can do that'll get you sweating. And that's a great way to get to support your liver and your kidneys, because it will help get rid of the toxins through your sweat. And if you are restricted from exercise for whatever reason, you can also do saunas, steam or detox baths. Those are all great ways to sweat that will get the detoxification working on your side. So that alone, just making sure that you sweat, is key. So those, you know, 4 different areas of helping support your detoxification system is important. So peeing, pooping, breathing deeply, and perspiration. All those will help your support your liver and your kidneys so that they can do their job. It all works together, but we have to do our part. Our body, you know, gosh, it gets overwhelmed by what we expect it to do already. So you've got to support it and do your part. So I hope that has helped, and I've given you maybe some interesting things or a unique twist to think about when it comes to regain and how to do it differently. So, you know, outside of the obvious, these are 4 areas that could be causing inflammation in your body that is contributing to weight regain. So if you haven't checked out our website, go to wlsguthealth.com. We have lots of free information that will give you, you know, more insight to these topics as well, and educate you on the basics of gut health, which is kind of the root of all chronic diseases, and as well as weight. So I encourage you to check that out. Most importantly, get in our closed Facebook group, the Gastric Health Club. And then also take advantage of our free shipping and handling before that goes away. So keep that in mind, and order as soon as you can so that you make sure you take advantage of that sweet deal that we had going on that will be quickly going away. So thank you again for joining us. I hope you guys have a fabulous week, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.